even with the net on the far side. Feed down to Crowley. Crowley, quick stick, score! Sewell's on the board, 1-0.
Great vision right there by Tommy Compitello, finding a cutting Crowley. Crowley goes high to low, off stick, right past Crowley, and the Seawolves lead 1-0.
So 11:37 left in the first quarter. The Seawolves have drawn first blood, and if you are the Stony Brook Seawolves with the high-powered offense you have, an early lead is what you're looking for. 1-0. St. John's, just keep the scoring down as best they possibly can. And on the procedure error, it's going to be a Seawolf ball on the faceoff, and Rand will pick it up and get rid of it very quickly, as he will hand it off to Legall, who is now in for the Seawolves on the far side. He'll pass to McBride. McBride all the way on the far side, about even with the net right now. His usual place on the left side of the field. Bring it back up to the top now, and we see Tyler McCabe for the first time. McCabe, handoff to the right side, Graham Adams. Graham Adams, 3 of his 4 goals were scored in 1 game last year. That was against UMBC during the regular season, not the America East Final.
Stony Brook right now spreading in a 1-4-1 set, has their second midfield in here, and they're obviously trying to get a good possession with the second group in.
Compitello at the X now, coming about to a 45-degree angle with the net, looking to get free in front of the crease and can't do it. He'll bring it back to the X and around once again. Now to Chris Scott on the far side. Scott will bring it back up to the top to Adams. Adams going right, looking for a shot, doesn't have an angle as he gets up to about 15-degree angle with the goal and brings it back to the X. Now to Compitello once again. 10:23 left in the first quarter, 1-0. Compitello looking for a wraparound, doesn't have it. Good slides by the St. John's defenders, not giving him the shot. Back up to the top now to Adams, and over on the left side to Scott. Now Scott looking to penetrate left side, doesn't have anything. Very good D by the St. John's Red Storm. They're keeping Stony Brook from taking anything close in. Now a quick handoff to Adams. Adams looking for a man down low, doesn't have it. Has to bring it back to the X, over to Compitello once again. Down inside 10 minutes, 1-0. And a quick shot, and nice shot by Compitello as he winds around and dumps it in, and the Seawolves are up 2-0 now with 9:48 left in the first quarter.
One of the keys to the game tonight is Stony Brook's matchup with Tom Compitello versus Nevin Dan Kremens for the Red Storm. Compitello drives hard left-handed to the top side. Nice bounce shot off stick past Buckley, and the Seawolves lead 2-0, but great possession right there by the Seawolves.
So we go back to the X, and on the St. John's side, it'll be Jordan Rothman. As we said, he's a freshman from Bridgewater, New Jersey, and he will go up against Stony Brook's Adam Rand. As you know, he is a junior from Nyannick, Connecticut. And Rand will come up with almost a clean win there, but the ground ball actually winds up going St. John's way as he couldn't control it. Dylan Ayers with the ground ball for the Red Storm, and it gets knocked loose by Crowley. And he picks it up again. He recovers, and he's in the Stony Brook zone, but he loses it once again as he runs into Waldeck. And now the ball is being fought for over the near wing area in front of the net and in front of the bench, I should say. And it's
That's
picked up once again by St. John's. Failure to advance, and it's going
to
be a turnover for the Red Storm. St. John's will try to advance it as fast as they possibly can as Laverne will bring it into the zone. Quick handoff to McBride. McBride in front of the goal to Belton, and Belton scores.
He will score.
When you have a junior-laden team, as Stony Brook does, the quick whistle is very dangerous. Stony Brook is very good on the quick whistle right there. Prime example, Legall picks the ball up, gets that quick whistle, gets the play right into transition. Stony Brook pushes it upfield to Crowley. Tic-tac-toe passes down to McBride, and again, McBride's 22nd in the season. Seawolves lead 3-0.
Belton actually got that one off a feed from McBride, so McBride actually deferred, believe it or not. But McBride saw the opportunity there, and Belton took it. Clean win by the Seawolves by Adam Rand, and he'll go cross-field to Campbell, bounce pass there. And he will hand off to McBride over on the far side, around to the X, to Compitello. That's not Compitello, that's actually Belton. That Compitello saying the pick for Belton to roll to the near side. Now he'll hand off to Trenkel. Back up to the top now, that's Campbell. The Stony Brook starters, of course, back in place on the attack. 8:37 left in the first, 3-0 Stony Brook. over the St. John's Red Storm. Only the second meeting ever between these two teams. The last one, 1986. Trenkel is free. He's at the doorstep. And a nice save by the St. John's goalie, Gavin Buckley. The ball is knocked over to the end line, but Compitello is there to bring it back in.
Nice shot off stick by Trenkel. Good save by Buckley.
So Compitello, who's being closely guarded, trying to go around the X and around to the crease, but he's being pushed all every step of the way. Belton having trouble controlling the over-the-shoulder pass. He does recover briefly, and now it's picked up in the St. John's crease by the Red Storm, and that is Nick Messenger with the ground ball, and Messenger will try to take it as far as he can go. And Messenger will actually take it all the way into the Stony Brook zone, as Harry Kuttner, one of the top scorers on the St. John's squad, will take it from there. Guarded by Ginlett. He's on the far side of the field now with 7:42 left. Seawolves up 3-0, St. John's ball in the Stony Brook zone. Charlie Hollenstein, he's being guarded by Reinert of the Stony Brook defensive unit. He'll dump it off quickly to Kuttner, and the St. John's Red Storm is pushed off to the very far side of the field here, as looking to penetrate right now and taking a shot that was compromised quite a bit was Garrett Mitchell. No problem for Parr, and the Seawolves will look to clear.
Seawolves running their version of Revis Island on defense, really extending out on the midfield, forcing that St. John's midfield to dodge and, again, forcing bad shots. Seawolves in a clearing game.
Seawolves taking their time, long clearing pass, and nearly overthrew Crowley, but Crowley now takes it himself and takes it straight up right through. A high shot for a score and making it 4-0 now with 6:53 left in the first. Kevin Crowley coming through once again.
And you look at that Stony Brook Seawolves scouting report, you write down on the scouting report, Crowley right-handed, McBride right-handed. That's the evolution of Kevin Crowley as a player. Having confidence to put the ball in his left hand, goes high to high, past Buckley and the Seawolves, up 4-0.
Now, St. John's has called a timeout here. The Seawolves, 4 unanswered goals so far in the first 8 minutes of the game, and Seawolves are playing exactly the way they expect to, and what's more important is that the defense has had no trouble handling St. John's offense so far.
They haven't had any trouble, and they've been able to extend out and really pressure St. John's midfield play. That's where their weakness is at the St. John's roster right now. They just don't have that dynamic player at the midfield end. And Stony Brook, it's gotten strong goaltending from Charlie Parr. But, with Stony Brook this season, you look at their 4 games so far, they've had some lulls. They've played great for 5-10-minute stretches, and then they have that short lull. So Rick Soule's in that huddle right now, and he's telling his players, 6:53 remaining in this first quarter. Let's keep winning faceoffs, keep getting good offensive possessions, taking good shots, and let the scoreboard keep running.
Absolutely. And this is not a team you want to necessarily let come up for air, because they can smother you. They do have a fairly good defense. They are ranked 17th in the country. Indeed, they've allowed fewer than 9 goals per game. But, of course, the Seawolves are a very high-powered offense, and they've scored 29 goals going into this game, St. John's, and the Seawolves scored 21 alone against Siena.
And especially with a Stony Brook team that's built on fast breaks and transition, St. John's wants to take the air out of the ball, have long possessions, and try to get back into this game.
So the usual suspects at the X, Rand and Rothman, and a clean win by Rothman for St. John's. But on the other hand, he's going to run into a bunch of white shirts and get the ball knocked loose, but it is picked up once again by the Red Storm on the ground, and give, I believe that is Ayers credit for that one. And there's a flag on the play as Ayers was trying to get clear. And we'll see what the issue is here. As we'll wait for the official announcement on the flag.
The penalty, number 24, Stony Brook, Stephen Waldeck, receives 1 minute for a slash.
There you
6:36
go.
6:36 of the first quarter. Waldeck, 1 minute at 6:36.
And then you break out the numbers as far as the man-up is concerned for St. John's, and it's not very good. 3 for 16, 18.8%. But we'll see the man-up unit coming in for the Red Storm. As on the near side, Matt Hurst coming up to the X now. That's number 2, Jared Carr. Coming around the far side, that's Kuttner. Kuttner over to Hollenstein. Now back up to the top now, that's Manis. Manis tried to hand off to Hurst, and Hurst actually bounced it off Sopko and recovers as they wind around over the far side now. Kuttner looking for a shot. He'll hand it off, and a nice one-timer by Hohlenstein, a laser past par, and the Seawolves are on the board on the man up.
St. John's running a 2-4 set. Got a nice set shot by, I believe, Tom Maines. Left-handed shot. Off stick high on Charlie Parr. Might have been screened on that shot. A little bit further out. Charlie Parr has to make that save. But again, St. John's takes advantage of the extra man opportunity and now gets on the board.
They can pull a Freudian there. The Red Storm are on the board. It's 4-1 with 6:02 left in the first. And another clean win by St. John's. Now a quick shot over the side on the feed and taken and scored by Brandon Ayers right off the feet by Rothman, and St. John's has cut the Stony Brook lead in half. It's 4-2 very quickly, and just as you predicted almost, the Storm are on a run.
Storm are on a run, and it all starts with faceoffs. You know, you score a goal, it's it could be make it, take it right here. Stony Brook, Adam Rand is a little slow on getting down and blocking St. John's faceoff guy. And they've been able to pop two fast breaks. I'm sure Rick Saul right now is adjusting his long stick midfield play to come a little bit further down the line to try to stop that fast break.
So Rothman and Rand. Rothman actually has a pretty good face-off win percentage, slightly more than 50% himself. Not bad. As they are in a scrum, as the ball kicks out towards Stony Brook, Waldeck has a stick on it, and he will pick it up and quickly handed off to Crowley on the left elbow to McBride and around the X. That's Belton working off a pick set by Competello, and a quick handoff to Timmy Trinkle at the right elbow, and they've worked completely around with the offensive unit. Now Campbell gets a touch, and that is your offensive unit for Stony Brook right now, as Belton takes a pass over on the right side, and he'll invert once again, go all the way over to the far side. Back to Campbell, all the way up to the top to Timmy Trinkle. Trinkle going straight down the slot to the right side. Stops, comes right back, and brings it back up once again to Campbell on the far side. 5:02 left in the first, it's 4-2 Stony Brook. Stony Brook with the ball. Trying to penetrate, trying to get through his man, doesn't have it. That was Campbell, as Competello will try a wraparound. Competello with the low shot and a score.
Seawolves score.
Tom Competello, what they like to do is what they call the finalizer move, is when you drive to X, hard one hand, and then you make a quick changeover in front of your face, undresses his defenseman, comes right-handed, which, you know, you read the scouting report, Tom Competello is going to take a left-handed shot almost every time. Comes right-handed, sneaks it by Buckley, and the Seawolves are again on the board.
5-2 your score now at 4:49 left in the first. And it is won by the St. John's Red Storm, picked up by Manis, the ground ball, the face-off. And now handed off to the left side. That is once again Ayers. Ayers cradling, now coming around to the end line. He looks to get rid of it and then gets it over to Hohlenstein over on the near side, bringing it back up to the top now is Mitchell. Mitchell going about a 45-degree angle with the net, now drawing back. And he will bring it back up to Alex Lagadich, who's getting a touch for the first time in the game. Lagadich back up to the top, now to Mitchell. Mitchell penetrating. Mitchell trying to get around Laverne, and he fires wide left. And two Red Storm players, they're in the away red out there, and they will try it again here with 4:05 remaining in the first. Down 5-2. But St. John's capable of scoring a couple of quick goals when they can catch Stony Brook flat-footed. Kuttner will bring it in from the end line. He'll go all the way out, drifting out to the far side. Now he'll try a long pass all the way up to the top that winds up back in Stony Brook territory. It is recovered by the Red Storm. That's Dan Kremens, the D-man. And Kremens trying a cross-field pass that goes to no one in particular, and that's going to be
That again is a failure to advance. The turnover started in the offensive zone, goes into the defensive zone. You have 10 seconds to get the ball back into the box. Stony Brook rides hard, and now they have possession in the offensive zone.
And they couldn't even move the ball forward, so the Seawolves will take it over once again. 3:31 remaining in the first, up 5-2. As Tom Competello, with two goals on the evening so far, He's got it over on the right side. Quick feed down to Campbell. Campbell fires high this time, and the Seawolves are up 6-2.
And right there is a prime example when you hustle, you score goals. Stony Brook makes a quick substitution, gets Robbie Campbell on the field, has a five-yard lead on his player. Competello with his head up. Quick feed to Campbell. Campbell quick sticks it right past Buckley, and the Seawolves are up 6-2.
So every time it looks like St. John's is going to try to work their way back into it, they either can't hold on to the ball or the Seawolves just come up with a quick one. Adam Rand on the faceoff. This one, a clean win for him. He'll pass up off to Waldeck. Waldeck has red shirts all over him over on the near side. He's looking for a flag, but instead he's just going to take it into the St. John's zone. He's got it himself, and he's basically drawing red shirts all over him as he dumps it back off to Competello, who actually gets the ball knocked loose, and that was knocked loose by Jerry Nevin. It's still being fought for and picked up by St. John's, and that's going to be...
It's going to be Stormbrook's ball. We have a flag down situation. The St. John's attacker was offsides. Stephen Waldeck drew that penalty.
Okay, so yeah, I was looking for the flag on it. I didn't see the flag. I was just looking. I did see the offsides call, but now we have Seawolves with a man up, and we see a slightly different look for them as Belton gets a touch and McBride, slightly different positioning. As also we see Adams and Hawkins for the Stony Brook Seawolves, and Hawkins takes a shot and a score on the man up.
Seawolves score.
And Hawkins is a freshman attackman from Rocky Point, and he gets his first goal tonight. It's 7-2.
Extra man Hawkins specialist Stony Brook again, developing players. Hawkins freshman Timmy Hawkins from Rocky Point, basically a left-handed specialist on extra man, comes in there and rips one low to high past Buckley, and the Seawolves are up 7-2. Great shot.
Absolutely. And it was very well screened and very well placed, too. Just to the left side of the net. As the ball is kicked towards the St. John's zone, Waldeck, a flip back over to Legall. And Legall will pick it up for the Seawolves as they take possession once again with 2:17 left in the first, up 7-2. So Competello has it at the X. Competello, pass to Adams over at the right elbow, back up to the top. As we see, once again, the second mid in there, and we see McCabe, and McCabe losing control of it briefly as the ball almost gets knocked out of bounds and recovered by Belton just before it does. 1:49 remaining, up 7-2 in the first quarter, the Stony Brook Seawolves over the St. John's Red Storm.
And what you're seeing with this Red Storm defense is they're playing basically straight up man-to-man, and they're not sliding off the Stony Brook Seawolves attackman.
So back to Competello at the X. Guarded by Nevin of St. John's. Staying right on him as he tries to get a shot that's partially deflected, and McBride will recover it for Stony Brook at the end line with a minute 24. So the first thing McBride does, he gets rid of it. Gets it to Adams over on the left side. Now to McCabe up top. McCabe drifting to the right. Bring it back up to the X once again to Competello. Now Competello trying to get at the doorstep there, and there's nobody home as he tried to get a pass back up top, and it's actually intercepted by the St. John's goalie. And the nice pickoff there by Gavin Buckley, and St. John's Red Storm will be looking to clear, and Mattis tries a shot in St. John's territory. But it was a clean save for Charlie Parr, no problem for him. As we get down inside a minute 42 seconds before the end of the first quarter, and the Seawolves will take their time clearing. And the outlet pass from Parr will go to McCabe. McCabe over on the far elbow of the restraining box. He'll hand off to Crowley, now back to Campbell. Campbell looking to penetrate. Campbell overhead shot is deflected and over above the crossbar. And coming back to get things going again will be Competello. 20.3 seconds left in the first. Seawolves up 7-2 with the ball once again. A feed down low is missed but picked up and recovered off the ground by Crowley. Crowley at the top, and The pass is intercepted. It was intended for Belton and picked up by Cremins of St. John's. He just tries a long pass as time runs out, and St. John's is not going to be able to do anything here in the first quarter. So a solid first quarter for the Stony Brook Seawolves. They're up 7-2.
Stony Brook's up 7-2, but I really don't like that last possession by the Seawolves trying to force the issue. A couple more seconds left on the clock. I would have liked them to hold the ball for that last second shot, forcing the issue inside to Belton.
So we're going to step out for just about 30 seconds or so. Jeff Bernstein will get you up to date on everything going on in top 20 lacrosse and also the NIT. First night of action for the National Invitation Tournament. And, of course, tomorrow night, Stony Brook Seawolves and Fighting Illini of Illinois in the Stony Brook Arena. Your score at the end of one, Stony Brook 7, St. John's 2 on the longtime home for Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
Hi, this is Rick Soule, men's lacrosse coach at Stony Brook University, and you're listening to the longtime home of Seawolf Sports, WUSB.
Back here at the WUSB studios, my name is Jeff Bernstein. Let's look at some of the scores in the America East, which is the conference that Stony Brook does play in. Stony Brook, if they win today, they will go to 4-1 in the America East. Right now, everyone else in the America East not having a great non-conference schedule. Binghamton lost today to Hobart 6-5, so Binghamton goes to 2-5. Hartford has started out the season 1-4. UMBC 1-4. Surprisingly, Albany at 0-5 and Vermont at 0-5. So with the win tonight, Stony Brook can go to 4-1 and pretty much have a command on the America East non-conference. Other scores going on in the world of lacrosse today: Massachusetts 17, Providence 3, Harvard 11, Colgate 8, Notre Dame 14, Denver 7. They are in the first quarter. North Carolina has a 4-2 lead on Princeton. Rutgers is playing Marist. And in the first quarter, Townsend 3, Navy 1. Back to Laval.
Interesting quarter. Notre Dame score because they're right next to Stony Brook in all the polls. We're at 13, depending on which one you're looking at. Fresh 15 on the clock. Second quarter ready to start here. Stony Brook Seawolves leading St. John's 7-2. And it will be Rand and Rothman once again, and a clean win by Rothman, but he gets tripped, and there's a flag on the play. That's definitely going to be a trip on Rand, no question about it. That's going to be a penalty for Stony Brook.
It's going to be a penalty for Stony Brook.
So St. John's man up. 7 seconds into the second quarter, and they're already 1-1 on that.
Atterbrand receives 30 seconds for a trip at 14:53 of the second quarter.
So we will try this once again.
14:53.
It will be St. John's ball. They will take it from midfield. They're working from left to right right now as they've swapped ends for the second quarter, the two teams here at Laval Stadium. And they will get things going with the man-up unit as Jared Carr gets it up to Kutchner and Cutter. And that actually was saved briefly by Parr. Did not go over the line as Parr was able to get back from behind him, and the Seawolves dodge a bullet there, quite literally. It'll be Vonzel Legall who will take the clear all the way himself down the far side, and the Seawolves will play man down in St. John's territory. So Belton trying an underhand shot and then misses wide, and McBride will try it once again from the baseline. 14-12 right now in the quarter, and Seawolves have scored man down on the feed from McBride to Crowley. The Salmon Belly strike again.
Salmon Belly strike again, but again, experience. Juniors know the game. They get a quick whistle, quick restart. St. John's has their extra man personnel on defense. It's a good time to go to the cage right there, and the Seawolves take advantage of that opportunity.
So 50 seconds into the second quarter, and the Seawolves have added to their lead. It is now 8-2. And the penalty is over. And it's actually Crowley coming up with a clean win on the faceoff, filling in for Rand on this one. And Crowley will take it over to the far side of the box. Stony Brook working from right to left as he hands it off to Competello. Competello will take it to the X and then stop there and drift back out towards the far corner. He's guarded by Cremins of St. John's as he passes to Campbell over on the right elbow. Now to Trenkel. Trenkel at the top. They'll actually swap positions over on the far side. And once again, bring it back to Competello, who will hug the X area and come back towards near side. and pass to Crowley near side as the Seawolves perimeter offense. They take their time looking for a position here. Crowley, quick dodge, now over to his left. Now coming back over to the top now. Quick feed to McBride. McBride at the door. Couple of fakes and a score. And that was classic McBride. Two fakes, drops Stony it in. 9-2 Stony Brook.
9-2 Stony Brook. But if you talk about box lacrosse, you talk about that two-man game, a high pick. Crowley comes off of it. Doesn't have anything. Comes back on a backside pick. They double-team Crowley. They find McBride wide open on the doorstep. It's like taking candy from a baby right there. Drops it in. And the Seawolves now lead 9-2.
I'll tell you something. If you don't get a chance to see the Stony Brook Seawolves at home, you're missing something when you watch Jordan McBride. Clean win by Rand, but he makes a bad pass, and that one's going to go out of bounds, going to his left. McBride wasn't ready for it, so a lapse for the Seawolves there. It'll be St. John's ball.
Right there, Stony Brook Seawolves win the faceoff clean on the fast break. You know, trying to get set up in their fast break, caught his eye off of it, and it's going to now be the Red Storm's ball in the clearing game.
So charged with that task, for starters, will be Mike Sherry. He goes cross-field to one of his defensive counterparts, and that happens to be Garrett Mitchell. Actually, he is one of the short-stick players, as he will meander his way through into Stony Brook territory, but stop just short of the slot there, as he'll let the offense set as he comes back out to the right elbow. He's got Kuttner over on the right side. Kuttner now looking to invert, hugging the end line, going back over to the far side, guarded by Ginlett of Stony Brook all the way over there. As he finally passes off to Lagadich, and Lagadich trying to work his way around the goal. That's a short stick there. Now back over to Manis on the right side. Manis back up to the top to Mitchell. Mitchell over to Manis. Manis overhand shot is way over the crossbar. And St. John's will try it once again, and Kuttner will bring it back in for the Red Storm. 9-2 Stony Brook, 12:07 remaining in the second quarter. Kuttner of St. John's at the doorstep gets the ball knocked loose by Legall, and the ball will go all the way out to the far side as red and white shirts fight over it, and St. John's recovers. Mitchell's got it right now. Mitchell to Kuttner once again, and Kuttner a whipping shot wide left. But St. John's will make another go of it from the end line. And St. John's getting some shots, not particularly accurate, however.
Stony Brook really aggressive on pressure here at the from the midfield side. They're basically extending about 20 to 30 yards above the restraining line.
Laferre plays some pretty good D as he knocks the ball loose from Mitchell, and the Seawolves will take it away as Ginlett comes up with a ground ball. Nice D there by Laferre.
Great defense right there, and great presence of mind by Chris Ginlett to roll back and really be patient on the clear.
11:18 left. Stony Brook with the ball, getting over the midfield line now, and into the Stony Brook, into St. John's territory, I should say, is Brian Reinert. And Reinert will back out and give the Seawolves an opportunity to get set here on offense, as it is the usual suspect at the X with the ball, Competello. He'll hand off to McBride on the near side. On the near elbow, you have Campbell taking the pass from McBride back around the top to Trinkle. That's Timmy Trinkle there. I almost called him Bobby once. His brother, of course, of Stony Brook, is great himself.
War number 20.
Same number, exactly. Crowley coming all the way around to the left side now. Crowley joined a double team of Red Storm players, trying to elude a couple of those long sticks. Thinks better of it. Brings it back up to the top to Campbell, who has trouble fielding the ball. It was just a little bit too close to the middle there, as the blue ball is now loose over on the far side. Red and white shirts all over the place. Still inbounds. Yep, failure to advance. It's going to be a St. John's ball.
And that's what happens when you play, you know, you try to make that 30, 40-yard pass. If it's not dead on, it could end up being a turnover.
So the Red Storm will take it in, and it will be, I believe it's the first time we've seen number 8 get a touch. That's Reggie Davis. And he will get right back into defensive territory and hand off to Manis, who we're more used to seeing. Manis to Kuttner over on the right side. Two of their stronger offensive players. Kuttner coming down to the X, guarded by Ginlett. 9:53 left in the second. Stony Brook up 9-2 over St. John's. Only their second meeting ever. coming around to the doorstep, his car. Now bringing it back up to the top, firing a laser. It's actually stick deflected by Parr, is Hohenstein. So St. John's will try it once again from the end line. Kuttner will bring it in and hand off to Carr. And Carr will be looking to invert, guarded by Campbell. He sneaks it past, around Campbell, and past Parr. And it's now, no, the goal has been disallowed. Correction on that one, it did not go in. The guy, I think, went behind the net. So it's not going to be a goal for St. John's. It'll be a ball for Stony Brook instead. And Sopko will be looking to clear. He'll hand it off to Adams, and Adams will take it into St. John's territory with 9:17 left in the second. Up 9-2, the Stony Brook Seawolves are. As we see the second mids again, and McCabe getting a touch over on the far side. Back to Competello at the X. Taking his time now, looking for a wraparound. He does. He ties the overhand shot, and he scores. Third goal tonight for Competello. It's 10-2.
It's 10-2, and Tom Competello makes that quick stutter step, hard back to his left hand, gets topside, lets it go, quick release, kind of catches Buckley on low, off hip, and Stony Brook Seawolves now lead 10-2.
8:57 left, and the Seawolves already in double figures. 8:57 left in the second quarter, not the third or the fourth. So they're way past the average number of goals allowed as the Seawolves win the faceoff and the ground ball picked up by Waldeck, which is what he does best, as he will hand it off to Crowley over on the far side as the Seawolves offense sets once again. Belton takes the pass at the X. McBride will set a pick for him as he drifts over to the near side. He'll come back to the top of the box over at the left elbow and flip it to Campbell. Campbell. And the Seawolves will call timeout with 8:25 remaining in the second. Let's keep
timeout
it here.
Stony Brook,
let's talk a little bit about what the Seawolves' strategy is. Up 8, you obviously don't want the Red Storm to come up for air. There's a lot of lacrosse left to be played.
No, Stony Brook Seawolves just got to keep playing the game. I think when you're such a in-the-face, fast break, transition, you know, high-octane offense, and you try to put the lock on it, you know, it's like putting that restrictor plate on that NASCAR car.
Right.
You can't put the restrictor plate on this team. You got to let them just play the game that they normally play. You know, you try to sit on a lead, and teams get back into the game. Right now, they're up by 8 goals. It's a good timeout right now by Rick Soule. He's going to explain to his offense, you know, what kind of looks he wants. He wants to develop some players right now, that second midfield. But also, take smart shots. Take smart possessions. Don't just go force the ball to the cage and, you know, create turnovers, which ends up creating transition to the other team to have an opportunity to score.
One little fact about St. John's, I mean, we talk a lot about the fact that their program has been revived. It's only 5 years old after being shut down for 10 years. The one thing about them is that they had a 5-1 record, for starters, last year. And then Terrence Leach and Manis went down with injuries, and they lost their last 8 games to finish 5-9.
They had that great win against Georgetown early on in the year, you know, and when your program's starting out, you don't have the depth that you normally want to have, and you lose one or two guys, that makes the world of difference. Stony Brook, you know, prime example is, you know, Adam Rand goes down, it's a completely different team.
Absolutely. Seawolves with the ball right now, Belton coming around, looking to invert, and he will pass off to Scott on the near side. 8:04 left in the second quarter. Seawolves up 10-2, coming out of the timeout, called by Rick Soule. Now Scott, even with the net, quick flip over to Competello. Competello now drifting over towards the corner, taking his time. A little bit of a feint and dart there, trying to elude his defender. Nothing doing. He'll flip it to McCabe now on the left side. McCabe going to the top of the slot, and the pass to Adams. Adams going right side to Scott. Scott, about even with the net, doesn't have a shot. Back to Competello at the X. Competello, about even with the net with the crease. Now over to Belton. Belton, what a shot and a score by Belton off the feed. Right at the doorstep. He looked like he was going to go right with the shot, then flips left, gets it over the goalie's shoulder, make it 11-2.
You can talk about off-ball play right there. Jordan McBride, you know, he's not having a great statistical night. He sets a back pick on Belton's defender. Belton ends up on the backside, wide open. puts a couple fakes on Buckley and sticks it, and the Seawolves now lead 11-2.
Hoffman around to the X.
And one of the stories that Lacrosse Magazine has story this week, as a procedure call on St. John's gives the ball to Stony Brook, and Rand will hand off to Crowley very quickly, and he'll go cross-field to, believe it or not, Waldeck. And Waldeck, the line drive with the long stick is wide, but the Seawolves will reset.
Never saw a shot he didn't like.
Absolutely. Waldeck is a guy who will take a shot, and he'll also score for you. Now bringing it back up to the top of the box is Campbell. Campbell, quick handoff to Crowley, going to the left side, now to Trankel. Trankel, back to the X. As we see, another new look for the Stony Brook Seawolves. Is that Brett Drost, number 18?
That is Brett Drost.
Absolutely. First time we see him in the game with a touch. Now Trankel's got. Trankel bring it back up to the top to Belton. Belton tries a line drive, and he scores! And the Seawolves scoring at will, making it 12-2 with 6:38 left in the second.
1-4-1 set. Drive, pop off the crease. Belton from 7 yards. High to low. Low corner. Good placement on the shot. Seawolves now lead by 10. 12-2, 6:38 remaining. I have not seen, all my years covering Stony Brook, I have not seen Stony Brook play as well as they're playing this evening.
They're doing everything right, just about. A couple of mistakes here, a push there, nothing really serious, as we get the usual suspects back again, Jordan Rothman and Adam Rand, and this time the call on the faceoff will go St. John's way. So taking the outlet pass will be Harry Kuttner once again, and Kuttner tried to get back to the X to Ayers, and Sopko got a stick on it. It was knocked out of bounds. Ayers was his last to touch it, so it'll be Seawolves' ball once again. A bad turnover for St. John's. 6:17 left in the second. Seawolves up 12-2, looking to clear. Charlie Parr has the ball, still in Stony Brook territory, signaling Adams to take a pass, and Adams will do so and drop it briefly and come back with it again. Had some room. And he will complete the clear for Stony Brook over on the far side. Passing off to Crowley. Now we see Drost at the X. Working off the pick set by McBride. He'll hand off to Scott. Bring it back up to the top now to McCabe. McCabe, an underhand shot, and that one is fielded cleanly by the St. John's goalie. As we don't get to hear him enough, Gavin Buckley. St. John's looking to clear now. As they will get the ball into Stony Brook territory, and Kuttner will have it for the Red Storm. Kuttner will bring it back all the way to the left side. Once again, finding his man with nobody on him, fortunately, that's Ayers. Ayers hugging the end line, coming back to Manis now. Manis now at the end line with 5:11 left in the second. Stony Brook up 12-2, it is St. John's ball. As Manis, trying an overhand shot on the run, no problem for Charlie Parr. He saves it with the stick, and the Seawolves will look to clear once again. Outlet pass to Sopko, and Sopko will take it all the way to the midfield line and pass it up over the midfield line, and he'll get rid of it. And another guy who we haven't seen before, Paul Randazzo, the senior midfielder from Smithtown. So Rick Soule getting major minutes for as many players as he can here, as Trankel takes a feed and a score from Crowley, and it's 13-2.
Substitution error by St. John's again. Stony Brook coming quick out of that box. 3-on-2 situation. Trankel splits the middle. Great shot selection. Off stick high. Stony Brook leads by 11.
It's just amazing how they've had no let up virtually. I mean, like, the two goals that St. John's scored were done very quickly. One on a man up, and that's all they've been able to do. And it's been Stony Brook the rest of the way. 4:33 left in the second. 13-2 is your score. We have a face-off, and we have a Stony Brook win on the face-off as Waldeck will come up with a ground ball. Waldeck will create some space and dump it off, get it to McBride on the near side. And once again, we have to look at these unfamiliar faces here, but Drost does have a touch, and he'll bring it all the way to the far side. As he'll hand off to Crowley, back to Campbell, to Trankel, the guys we know. And it'll be a timeout called by Rick Soule. And again, he's not looking for a let-up here. He's changing looks. He's getting guys in there. And do you believe he's also telling guys to just, you know, play with each other, get used to each other?
He's also developing players. Brent Rose playing at X. You know, Belton. You know, Stornberg's very top-heavy on their first six offensive players. You have to develop some players when you play those two games and, you know, 3 games in 7 days type situations. You know, you're looking at the St. John's roster right now. One of the points I wanted to make was, if I'm a defenseman on St. John's team, you know, either right now the timeout or halftime, I'm telling my attackman, hey, look, we're playing a lot of defense right now. We don't need a 30-second possession. We want to hold the ball a little bit, possess the ball, and work for a good shot. That last shot right down there by Kuttner, he might have had a step on his guy, but be a little bit smarter with the ball. Try to get back in the game. You're not, you know, 11-goal game. There's no 3-point shot at this level. But if I'm a defenseman, I'm telling my offensive players on my team, hey, look, we need to possess the ball a little bit more here and be smarter with the ball and work a little bit harder for our shots.
You know, it's interesting, as I mentioned, that Lacrosse Magazine article talking about a lot of the Canadian players, and, of course, Reese Dutch, one of the pioneering Canadian players on Stony Brook, now a star in the National Lacrosse League. The techniques that are employed in the Canadian game, which, of course, is played in a standard NHL rink, 200 by 85 feet, do lend themselves very well to a much faster brand of field lacrosse because they're used to playing with a shot clock.
They're used to playing with a shot clock, but they're also used to playing on 4x5 nets. So when they see that 6'6" net, it's like shooting in the ocean.
Absolutely. Now, another thing, we can talk a little bit about goalkeeping techniques later on, but with 3:41 left in the second, it is Stony Brook ball, and it is in the possession of Chris Scott. Scott will bring it back up to the top. Now McCabe takes a feed from Adams off the pass from Scott. He fires a laser. And once again, the Seawolves add to their tally 14-2 now with 3:33 left in the second.
And the coaching handbook says you come off a timeout, you run a zone. St. John's following the book right there. They run a zone. Find that little skip lane in the zone. Tyler McCabe, again, great scouting by Stonybrook Seawolves coaching staff. They know that off stick low is definitely there on Buckley, and the Seawolves are now up by 12.
So, is that Waldeck on the faceoff? Yes, it is. And on the procedure call, it will be St. John's ball, but hey, nice try by Waldeck. Kuttner will take the outlet pass on the near side for St. John's, and he'll bring it back up to the X. And that is Ayers, and Ayers will take it all the way to the corner, guarded by Sopko. Quick pass over to Hohenstein. And Hohenstein will hand it off to Manis at the left elbow, and he'll bring it back to Mitchell. So you got pretty much the starters there. Mitchell trying a shot that's over the crossbar on the run, and they'll try it once again with Kuttner bringing it in at the end line, and Gillett right there on him.
St. John's right there driving down that alley shot. If you're playing defense, you know, you're playing a football stadium field, you want to keep your players outside the hashes.
Kuttner passing off to Hurst, but he runs into trouble as the Seawolves defense just clamps down on him. And that was actually Maselli knocking the ball loose in addition to Jared Laverne. The ball skips out towards the far side, goes out of bounds. Seawolves thought they had it cleared, but I believe that was Maselli who stepped on the line. It is Red Storm ball with 2:37 left before halftime. Stony Brook up 14-2 on the St. John's Red Storm. Trying to get something going now is Garrett Mitchell. Mitchell going cross field on a feed and taking a shot. Matt Hurst, an overhand shot. No problem for Charlie Parr with the stick. So with 2:20 left, the Seawolves will be looking to clear once again. Reinert, one of the starting defensemen, has the ball in Stony Brook territory. Handed off to Parr. Now Parr going with the outlet pass and overthrows it to Adams. Adams just wasn't ready. Tried to dive for it. Goes out of bounds. So St. John's will get it.
About 5 yards from him, he had Legall wide open in the flat. And you know, tried to force the issue right there on the lob pass. Stony Brook now will ride, leading by 12 with 2:04 remaining.
And initiating that ride will be McBride over there.
2 minutes
as
remaining in
they'll
the
use the long passes to break the ride, St. John's will. As that is Lagadich, who will bring it back over to Kuttner, and Kuttner down at the end line, so this clear is successful. Gimlet all over Kuttner, trying to evade him. as he is on the near side. They'll bring it back to Mitchell. Now over to Manis. Manis trying to evade two defenders, going cross field, but the pass is a little high for Lagadish, so he can't get a shot off. He has to dump it back off to Kuttner. Minute 33 left before halftime, 14-2 Stony Brook. A quick feed down low. Nope, that wasn't going to happen. The overhand shot taken by Kuttner again. Another stick save by Charlie Parr. And Parr really hasn't been tested all that much so far. With a minute 16 left, Stony Brook looking to clear once again.
I like the question mark move by Kuttner. I'd like to see him put a little bit more mustard on that shot. Charlie Parr eat that shot right up low. But Kuttner has had, you know, been able to get a little bit of an edge on his matchup. I'd like to see him go a little bit harder on Jinlin on the matchup. I think he can take advantage of that matchup.
Offsides call against Stony Brook. Got another flag. So with a minute 3 left, looks like St. John's will go man up. I'm hearing a 30-second penalty.
Delay a game.
Yep, delay. That's what we're seeing from the ref, and that's
delay of game assessed to Stony Brook.
Going to be on Sopko, who will serve it out.
Time of the penalty, 1:03.
So the final minute of play, or at least 30 seconds of it, will be a St. John's man-up situation. They've already scored once. Manis has it at the restraining line and throws the ball away, as is now 4-4 in front of the crease. Jinlick gets it, and then on the loose ball, they try to get a shot off St. John's, but they miss, and now it's still being fought for just outside the crease on the near side and rescued by Charlie Parr. He's got red shirts all over him. He just throws it up in the air, and it's recovered by the Red Storm. Matt Hurst with an open, nope, no open net. Parr got back. They have to reset. And it's going to be a St. John's timeout because the head coach Jason Miller and his assistants realized that there was nothing good going on there.
Nothing good going on there, but also 26.3 seconds left. Ball's in the offensive zone. You want to take that timeout. It's going to be a 6-on-6 situation right now. I believe penalties are released. I would like to see Charlie Parr right there, you know, get the ground ball. If you don't have an opportunity to clear it, don't throw it back into the offensive zone. Just eat the ball, run it out of bounds. You have 5 seconds to get back into the goal crease and play 6-on-6 lacrosse. Again, Charlie Parr last year, knee injury, 14-2 game. I'm Rick Soule. I'm saying, look, Charlie, you don't need to go out of the cage right there. You're up by 12 goals. One injury to a guy like Charlie Parr made the difference in the season last year.
Yes, it did. I mean, Camposo did a good job as a fill-in, but it wasn't quite the same.
And we talk about Rob Camposo. Rob Camposo is going to attempt to redshirt this year.
Mm-hmm.
So Stony Brook will have a starting goaltender waiting in the wings for next season, which would be a senior-laden team next year with McBride and Crowley and Competello and Belton and Rand. And, I mean, pick another Sopko. I mean, pick another name.
Yeah.
All these guys are going to be coming back for Stony Brook Seawolves. So Stony Brook Seawolves going with a freshman goalie as well as John Bella as backups and Rob Camposo redshirting this season. I think it's a great move for the Stony Brook Seawolves. You get a senior leader coming back in the goal for 2011.
But a lot of it depends on whether or not Charlie Parr stays healthy and doesn't take unnecessary risks. So with 20 seconds left, St. John's with the ball. And that's Hohenstein there as they bring it back around to Mitchell. Mitchell trying an underhand shot. That's wide. Actually went off a couple of feet. So with 8.9 left, they'll try it again. Manis on the inbound. Bringing it back to Hohenstein. Coming around to Mitchell. Back over to Kuttner. And then the shot is deflected. And as the ball is fought for, time will run out in the half. And what a half by the Stony Brook Seawolves. 14-2 the score. And I've covered Stony Brook Seawolves lacrosse for a long time. You've coached here. You've been up in the booth here. And have you ever, on this campus, seen a Stony Brook lacrosse team have a half like that?
The only place I could think of is when the 2003 season, 2004 season, I believe it was 2004 season, when Stony Brook played Hofstra here in the inaugural game between Hofstra and Stony Brook, that Stony Brook has played as well as a half as I've seen. for 30 minutes tonight.
Don't forget to come
as far
back
as,
to Laval
but that game was a very low-scoring game, if I recall correctly. That was a 9-6 Stony Brook win.
9-6 defensive struggle. You know, the Hofstra fans will say Hofstra was down that year. But, Stony Brook, again, complete lacrosse. Offensively, defensively, face-offs. Stony Brook, great job so far. And they got to keep this up.
Absolutely. Well, we have another huge event coming up tomorrow night. But before we do, quick look at the statistics. And the shots and just about every statistic, believe it or not, one stat going St. John's way. And they have the edge on ground ball, 17-14. In particular, 13-8 in the first. The Seawolves beat them out 6-4 in the second. The faceoffs, Stony Brook with a slight edge, 10 out of 18. The clears, 6-7 for Stony for St. John's, 9-12 for Stony Brook. Extra man opportunities, St. John's 1-3 on the man up. Stony Brook 1-1. Stony Brook, of course, Charlie Parr with 10 saves. And also on the St. John's side, Gavin Buckley with 5. And the turnovers, Stony Brook actually more turnovers, but on the other hand, it's high risk, high reward with them. 8-5. And the scoring, Tom Compitello with 3 goals, Kevin Crowley with 3 tallies, Kyle Belton with 3, and Jordan McBride only 1 so far. And this is going to be a very unusual game for the Seawolves because in all the games they've won, McBride has scored a lot. In the one game that they lost, McBride didn't score at all. And this is a game where McBride is not being dependent on very heavily for offense.
He's not being dependent on heavily offensively, but he's doing the intangibles. He's getting open on the backside. He's keeping his man occupied on the crease. They've set a couple double picks. Belton's ended up on the backside open. Tom Compitello has been able to take advantage of his matchup. Crowley's been able to get some opportunities on transition. 14-2 right now. I expect the Stony Brook starters probably to play the remaining part of the third quarter. And then you'll see, hopefully, the Stony Brook Seawolves get a little bit liberal with their bench. They'll get some other guys in, get some guys of experience. Rivalry game. You still want to have an opportunity. I'm in that locker room. I'm saying, hey, look, it's 0-0. 14-2 is great. We want to keep it going. Keep up the pressure. We put up 7 each quarter. We want to put up 7 again.
Absolutely. And that's where we're going to step out. Let's send it back to Jeff Bernstein for about 4.5 minutes or so. And when we get back, third quarter action between the Stony Brook Seawolves and the St. John's Red Storm. Your score at the half, Stony Brook 14, St. John's 2, on the longtime home for Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
Hi, this is Jim Fiore, Director of Athletics at Stony Brook University, and you're listening to Seawolves Sports on WUSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook.
I really want to take a moment, to thank everybody for all their support this year of our team. It was a great year. We won the first ever conference regular season title. We now have our first postseason bid in the NIT. And the support of the community, the support of the students, the support of all of our fans was just tremendous. Our last 7 games were sellouts. And we're real excited. We have a chance on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock on ESPNU to host the Fighting Illini of Illinois of the Big Ten. A great, great program here in our gym and our arena. It's going to be an awesome, awesome night. And we're really looking forward to everyone wearing their red and showing up to support our basketball program. So thank you, and we'll see you Wednesday night.
Back at the WUSB studios, my name is Jeff Bernstein. Let's give you some updates in the world of sports before we send it back to Brendan and Matt in the first half blowout of St. John's. And you can see that the Stony Brook lacrosse team looking to make their mark this year, as did various sports in Stony Brook athletics. It's definitely a athletic department on the rise, and good things ahead for the Stony Brook lacrosse team. Just got that feeling that ranked 15th in the country, that they are on their way to a potential NCAA bid. Let's look at scores in the NIT. Right now, they are at half at UConn, and the Connecticut Huskies are up on Northeastern, 34-26. That's UConn 34 and Northeastern 26 in the NIT. And other games going on in the NIT today. South Florida will be hosting North Carolina State's Tech. UAB will be hosting Community College of Charleston. Seton Hall home against Texas Tech. North Carolina will be hosting William & Mary. Jackson State will be at Mississippi State. And Arizona State will be hosting Jacksonville in the NIT today. We're going to take one more break, and when we return, we'll give you some final scores, some lacrosse scores from today. Send it back for the second half, right after this. Back at the WUSB studios, my name is Jeff Bernstein. Let's give you some lacrosse scores that have transpired today. And when we give you the scores, then we'll give you a final break, and then we'll send it back to Laval Stadium for the second half. Today's the final scores. We'll give you Division I scores. Massachusetts knocked off Providence today 17-3. America East team Binghamton took a loss. They go to 2-5. Hobart 6, Binghamton 5. Harvard knocked off Colgate today. That score was Harvard 11, Colgate 8. Notre Dame 14, Denver 7. That's a very interesting national score. North Carolina going into the half leads Princeton 7-4. My mistake there. 7-4. North Carolina 7, Princeton 4. Rutgers 5, Marist 3. They are halfway through the second quarter. And going into half, it's Townsend 6, Navy 4.
This is Stony Brook Hall of Famer Joe Nathan of the Minnesota Twins. You can follow Seawolves action all year round on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
With the second half, Matt Mankiewicz and Brendan Chamberlain.
And thank you very much, Jeff Bernstein, for that halftime update. We got about a couple of minutes before we face off for the third quarter. The Seawolves are up 14-2 on the St. John's Red Storm. And this is basically as good as it gets for Stony Brook Seawolves lacrosse, with the possible exception of not seeing enough Jordan McBride. But you want to know something? As we were mentioning, first of all, in the second quarter, Rick Soles rotating a lot of names we hadn't seen a lot of in some of the tougher games. And what's also important, too, is that this is the first game where the Seawolves have not had to rely on Jordan McBride to carry them offensively.
The guy had 7 goals against Delaware.
Yeah.
Probably tired from shooting.
Yeah, and 10 the last time he went down to Delaware. And basically he's number one in the nation, averaging close to 6 goals a game. He's an absolute machine. But when he's gotten the opportunities, he's put on a show.
He's gotten the opportunities to put on a show, but you know, you look at Stony Brook's offense, they have 3 players in the top 25 in scoring. Competello, Crowley, McBride, Belton, probably in the top 50 scoring. So the Seawolves have a balanced offense. You know, you key on one guy, you lock him off, you don't let him try to score. That's great. It's going to open up more opportunities for the Stony Brook Seawolves offense. You know, what I like to see is Timmy Trenkel's gotten on the board tonight. Mm-hmm. I like to see Belton, you know, is having a great game tonight. Competello's having a good game. Crowley, yep. His normal 3-something points, you know, close to 5 ground balls a game.
6 points, 3 assists. And Crowley's got two. So you got 6 points and 5 points for Competello and Crowley, respectively. So we're winding down here at the halftime. And, yes, the highly amplified music on the new high-def scoreboard, the Sharoff family scoreboard once again. The Sharoff family coming up with both scoreboards that have been put up here at Laval. And this is a beauty here, too. And sometimes you wonder. Actually, they did a great job when the Seawolves men's basketball team won the America East title. A nice thank you to the fans was put up on the high-def scoreboard as people were walking out of Pritchard Gym. So that was fun to look at, especially from the parking lot. But
it also helps when you have the recruits and it shows up on the scoreboard. Welcome, Johnny Jones.
Rothman and Rand on the faceoff, and still the scrum ensues, and it's picked up the loose ball by Crowley, so it'll be a win for the Seawolves. Back to working to left to right in the third quarter, up 14-2, just underway here at Laval Stadium. Stony Brook Seawolves, St. John's Red Storm on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook. It's Radiothon 631-632-6901. Want to make a pledge to help us keep the signal sounding good and the Seawolves sports coming your way. Crowley with the ball on the left side. Crowley at the doorstep. Bounce shot, score! 4 goals for Crowley. Makes it 15-2.
Did I mention the Fighting Illini coming to town tomorrow?
That's right, the NIT. And a little bit of an invert there, as the 8th seed Stony Brook Seawolves will be hosting the top seed Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois at Stony Brook Arena in the NIT tomorrow. If you haven't gotten your tickets, well, you might have a little bit of trouble getting in, and the game is sold out.
St. Patrick's Day, 9 o'clock start, ESPNU, national TV.
And right here on WUSB as well. Another clean win for Rand on the faceoff. Waldeck's got it. He'll hand it off to Competello. A lot of guys with the name starting C working the X for Stony Brook. Campolitano, Competello, Capodoro. Well, Capodoro.
Chamberlain.
Chamberlain, yes.
Christian.
Yep.
That's $5. Sean, that's another $5.
There you go.
Got my obligatory brothers in.
Yes. As the Seawolves taking their time on offense, but crisp passing, they have not dropped the ball. Then that's McCabe there over on the left side. As he hands off to Scott at the top, over to Adams on the right. So the two mids are in, going to the doorstep and not scoring. Actually, that is a save by the St. John's goalie and a flag on the play. So give Buckley a save and a possible man-up opportunity as we get the official word from the ref here. It's going to be a full minute penalty. And it's going to be against St. John's, and it's going to go against number 16 on the St. John's squad, Mike Sherry, the junior from Oceanside. Unnecessary roughness is the call.
New goalie in the cage for the Red Storm, Jeff Lohman from Severna Park, Maryland.
So number 20 is the guy, and the way to distinguish him, he's wearing the long black pants in addition to his Red Storm jersey, as the man-up unit takes the field for the Seawolves. Competello, the one face-off, the man-up specialist, as a shot is taken by Belton and missing. The one face-off specialist, of course, is Tim Hawkins, who already has a goal, a man-up goal. That's McBride up top. Now to Belton. Belton fires another laser that's a little bit wide right. And do I see Mark Jackson Jr. on the St. John's squad wearing number 43 from Redmond, Washington? That can't be the Mark Jackson Jr., could
never,
it be?
You never know.
Well, on a feed, McBride taking a line drive shot and actually handled very nicely by Jeff Lohman. Stony Brook man up goal. So, no, it is, though he got it in. He did get it in. He did get it past him. It looked like he had come up with it with the stick, but McBride comes up with his second goal of the game, making it 16-2. And the goalie deceived me a little bit there. I didn't see the goal in the net, but it counts.
That's an example. You have a cold goaltender coming off the, you know, start second half, bounces off his leg, trickles past the goal line, and the Seawolves win the next faceoff.
Yep, another clean win for the Stony Brook Seawolves, as Waldeck will take a quick feed from Rand. He'll bring it back up to the top to Campbell as we go back to even sides once again. Campbell drifting over to the far side, right at about the left elbow of the restraining box in St. John's territory, handing off to McBride in his usual spot on the left. Back up to the top, Trenkle. Hand off to Crowley at the right. Now he'll be hugging the restraining line and flip it back to Campbell. 12:25 left in the third. Seawolves up 16-2. Back to Trenkle near side. The ex-Compitello. Over on the far side, that's Crowley. Back to Campbell. Over to Crowley once again on the left. Crowley eluding his defender at the top of the slot. Thinks better of it. Dumping off to Trenkle. Trenkle, not a good angle. That brings it to the doorstep. Fires! And that's a nice save by St. John's. Rebound comes back and picked up by the Seawolves once again. That is Trenkle. So Jeff Lohman coming up with another good one there. Lohman's a freshman from Millersville, Maryland, as Brendan mentioned, Severna Park. Looking to penetrate is Campbell. Campbell at the doorstep, not a good angle. Gets the ball knocked loose, but recovered by Compitello. He'll dump it off to Belton on the near side. So the Seawolves recover there as Belton handing off quickly back to Compitello at the X. He's guarded by Cremins of St. John's. Looking for a wraparound, doesn't have it. Cremins shuts it off. Bringing it back to Crowley over at the elbow, back to Trenkle at the top, and around to McBride. And they do the same in reverse order, and it's all the way back to Crowley at the right side. Crowley at the top of the slot, draws two defenders, back to Trenkle. They'll do this all day. Trenkle at the far side with 11:01 left. Over to Crowley and back over to Campbell once again. They'll be playing catch there for a while.
Don't be surprised right now for a stall call to come from the officials.
It's almost there because Crowley is close to the net, about 8 yards out, as he comes back to the X looking to invert, coming around with a wraparound and a score! Going high this time, making it 17-2 with 10:43 left in the third. And you remember that 22-4 score back in 1986?
Yes. The invert right there, Stony Brook runs a fake flip play. Crowley throws the fake flip, gets an advantage on his player, turns the corner, topside, high to high on Jeff Lohman, and Seawolves are now up by 15, 17-2 with 10:43 remaining in the third.
So back to the X, and Waldeck getting a try at the faceoff, and still being fought for, as actually it was Manis who overran the ball looking for it, but he does have it again, but he's got two white shirts on him as a result. He has to dump it off to Mitchell, who has a little bit of trouble bobbling it, but he's got Waldeck all over him. Works off a pick, gets free, but draws Laverne instead over on the far side. Now he'll get rid of it to Kuttner, who has Ginlett to deal with over on the far corner. He'll drift to the X, down the end line to the near side as we get down to 10:09 left in the third. Seawolves up 17-2 with St. John's ball. Getting a touch is Hurst as he gives off to Manis. Manis trying an overhand shot and no problem for Parr. Might have been partially deflected, but Parr's got it for the Seawolves. So, getting the outlet to Reinert. Reinert getting it over the midfield line to Waldeck, and Waldeck will pass it off to Crowley to complete the clear. So Crowley is over on, actually, McBride now, so 11-21, to Compitello, we'll bring to over to the X, looking for a wraparound once again, gets shut off. Now he gets free, he's at the doorstep, he fires, and a nice block and a nice save once again by Lohman. The loose ball is picked up briefly by Lohman. He does recover over on the far side, looking for a long outlet pass. That ball is going to skip out of bounds, and the Seawolves will get it back. So great. Lohman, not a very good pass there.
Great hustle by Lohman on the ground ball. Had some time on him. Probably not that much experience as a freshman goaltender. Tried to find Kuttner cutting upfield. Unfortunately, wasn't able to get it to him. The Seawolves will now clear.
So the Seawolves get it at their own restraining line. And Ginlett inbounds to Parr, and they bring it over to the near side to Maselli. Maselli is at the wing area, and he'll hand it off to Scott, who will bring it over and complete the clear, gang, and feed down low to Adams, and Adams loses control of the ball trying to shoot, and St. John's comes up with the loose ball. And that's Dylan Ayers with the ground ball. St. John's looking to get something going. As they get over the midfield line, Dan Collado will complete the clear, and he'll hand off to Mitchell. Mitchell for St. John's, stepping in at the left elbow of the box, waiting for some help to arrive, taking his time. with Waldeck on him, he has to. Trying to work his way around Waldeck now and out to the slot as Waldeck knocks the ball loose. And Ginlett comes up with the loose ball. And great teamwork on defense by Stony Brook there.
That's an example of following the trail check. Mitchell extended his stick out the chute. Waldeck right there on the trail check. Stony Brook gets the ball on the ground. And now they're in the clearing game.
And that's what Waldeck will try to do as he gets the ball over the midfield line. Drops it briefly, but he's got plenty of space. And he'll find that's Vonzell Legall over on the far side. And he'll complete the clear and hand it back to Adams. Adams will step in on the near side now at the near elbow. Up 17-2, Stony Brook. 7:34 left in the third. They're taking their time with the ball down now. Adams will stop at the X, take a couple of stutter steps. Looking to pass, looking to find his man, that is Scott. Scott will bring it to Competello back at the X. Competello, one of the few starters in the St. John's zone right now. Competello, bounce pass to McCabe at the top of the box. And they'll play a little bit of catch with Adams. Now back to Belton, another starter back in action. As the attack is back in place to McBride over on the far side. And the two mids stay in. As McCabe gets a touch, he's at the top of the slot. He tries an overhand shot, and a nice save by Lohman, and St. John's comes up with the rebound. And that is Reggie Davis. Reggie Davis will take it over the midfield line. He'll make a quick handoff to Hurst, and Hurst tries a shot that gets partially blocked, and its ball is going to go out of bounds, and Maselli will not get there in time, so St. John's will get it.
Right there, Stony Brook Seawolves have a great drive to the cage. McCabe, about 12 yards away from the cage, going away from the cage, forced the ball back to X instead of taking that shot. Leads to a fast break for St. John's, and Stony Brook was able to get a stick on the passing lane, and now St. John's has the ball in the offensive zone.
So St. John's will try it again. Bringing it in will be Charlie Hollenstein, the sophomore from Downingtown, Pennsylvania. They're going to use long passes to get back to Matt Hurst up at the top. Matt Hurst on the left side of the slot, drawing two defenders, and try to get a pass across, and instead it is intercepted by Vonzell Legall of Stony Brook. Now Legall, looking to take a shot, doesn't have one, but he'll go back and flip it back to Laverne, and Laverne will take a shot. That's going to be a little bit wide, but the Seawolves will try again. But a nice try anyway.
That's the play of hitting the trailer. Laverne had a lane on his guy. Just a little wide on his shot, but great look by Legall right there, hitting the trailing player who had probably about a four-yard lead on his defender. And Stony Brook will reset with the ball.
6:03 left in the third. The Seawolves are up 17-2, and they have the ball once again. Kyle Belton will bring it in. He'll hug the end line and hand it off to Trinkle on the near side of the box. Down inside 6 minutes in the third quarter. Up to Crowley and to the far side, Campbell. As the one mids are back in place. Campbell drawing the St. John's defenders, trying a line drive shot. No screens there. No problem for Lohman. Lohman trying an outlet pass, but he threw it into a bunch of white shirts, and it's fought for at midfield, recovered by St. John's. And that is Collado who had it, and he had to pass it back. Now they're still having trouble clearing as finally Kuttner gets over the midfield line, draws a hit, and then what a hit by the Stony Brook defender. That's Brian Reinert who got that going. And the Seawolves, as a result of the ball being knocked out of bounds and last touch by St. John's, will clear themselves at their just about 5 yards ahead of their own restraining line.
The sideline is always the 11th defenseman. Great peace of mind right there by Reinhart, knocking Kuttner out of bounds. Don't even give him transition.
So the Seawolves will pass off to Campbell. And Campbell will just step in the box to complete the clear and hand off to Crowley at the left side. 5:02 left in the third. Seawolves up 17-2. At Laval Stadium, first broadcast of Stony Brook Seawolves lacrosse, but the fifth game for the Stony Brook Seawolves. They are 3-1 going in. St. John's 2-2, 0-1 in the Big East Conference going in. Competello drops a pass, and that ball may have gone out of bounds.
Stepped out of bounds.
And it is actually Competello who stepped out of bounds. You just said, Brendan, so it will go back to St. John's once again. St. John's looking to clear. They haven't been that successful doing that in the second half so far. Long outlet pass over to the far side, Reggie Davis. Reggie Davis is successful completing by finding Kuttner over on the far side. Kuttner's in the corner as he winds around to the X and finally getting a touch from for the first time in a long time. That's Brandon Ayers. Ayers is on the near side. Ayers, quick flip over to Carr now. Carr now trying to get around Kevin Crowley. He passes back to Kuttner at the X. Kuttner trying to look for him down low. Doesn't find him. But Carr recovers the pass as the Red Storm will try it once again. Back up to the top now, Hohenstein. To the right side, Mitchell. Back to Hohenstein up top. Going to his left is Lagadich. Lagadich, 45-degree angle to the net. He'll try it. He'll fire it. Stick saved by Parr. The rebound comes right back to the Red Storm in the near corner. That's picked up by Kuttner once again. Harry Kuttner taking it to the X.